Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues. I pray that you tune in each day and that you invite others to do so. Lest I forget it, let me remind you that telephone call number is 831-0917. Dialing that number gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue, and discussion on the issue. Today we're going to be talking about re-education camps, crushing our liberties. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that there is talk among the liberal talking heads, including the Marxist media, about having to set up some kind of special camps to put Donald Trump's 75 to 80 million people in to re-educate us, to deprogram us of what they're calling the cult, the Trump cult? Yes, we're really hearing the what otherwise would be called sane adult human beings talking about, how do we do that? What do we do? How can we re-educate these Trump cult members? That's what we're being called. That's the conversation today. How do you feel about that? What do you think? Do you think that's the right approach? Does that have any effect on our religious liberties and our freedom of speech, our Bill of Rights? Does that have a real effect on that? How should we respond? How should we then live? What ought to be our mantra and our modus operandi as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots today? That's what we're going to be talking about. Looking forward to hearing from you, your dialogue and discussion on the issue. But as we face the issues, let me remind all of us, my opinion is not worth 2 cents. The philosophical rhetoric out of the political agenda has no value. Denominational dogma is not the ruling element. It's the truth of the Word of God, the Bible. You recall, perhaps you're old enough growing up in church and Sunday school, hearing the song that kids would sing, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me, the B-I-B-L-E. That's the Bible. It's the Word of God. It's the truth book. It's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And that ought to be that which motivates us, directs us, and all of our thinking and what we ought to do, even in the dark days, Joe Biden's words, that we're living in today. By the way, he says even after inauguration, there's still a major dark day period before us. He is of the opinion that these dark days will go through 2021 and 2022. I am here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we're entering into an era that America has not experienced in recent history. We're entering into a day when our liberties, our Bill of Rights, our Constitution are all on the line. They're up for grabs. But good news, the Word of God gives us hope. We know who wins in the end. We know that we are victorious in the end. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is still on the throne. We know that God is still in charge. We understand that perilous times shall come, that God's already warned us about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and following. So therefore, we ought not to be bowled over. We ought not to be decimated in our thoughts. We ought not to be discouraged. We ought not to simply sit down, shut up, be silent, go into the closet. I don't believe that's what God would have us to do, even in the dark era that we're living in, and we'll be opening Pandora's box as of tomorrow, when Joe Biden is sworn in as the 46th president of the United States of America. We're going to be talking about all of that today. And let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917. But as we face the issues, we do so based on the truth book. John 8:31-32, Jesus says to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." How do we know the truth? How do we find the truth? How do we discover the truth? It's through the word of God. Jesus said then in John 14:6, "I am truth." Further, he states in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." It is the truth of the word of God that we ought to adhere to, and not to what any of the politicians are saying, especially with the rhetoric coming out of Washington today. It was George Orwell that made the statement, and he was a secularist, ladies and gentlemen. He said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We must recognize that we're living in that era. We must recognize that much of what Orwell said in his dystopian novel, the fiction called 1984, all that he said then that was looked at as far-fetched fiction, we're seeing it come about. And it was then that he stated, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We find that to be absolutely factual today. But ladies and gentlemen, for the Christian, we need to recognize the words of Jan Hus, in particular. By the way, he was the 15th century theologian and church reformer. But Jan Hus said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that in the days before us, that you'll recall that mantra, that you'll recall the fact that we need to seek the truth and listen to the truth, learn the truth and love the truth, and tell the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. I believe we're living in that time. I believe as you go back to the scripture, you see Stephen, as a result of standing and preaching the truth, he was stoned to death. You see the Apostle Paul, as a result of preaching the truth, he was thrown in prison. You can go throughout the scripture and find that the truth is despised, hated. And today we're trying to eviscerate anybody that stands for truth. And that's what we'll talk about. What we'll talk about today, re-education camps, crushing our liberties. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner, with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions about the power backup generation equipment, as well as the professional landscape equipment and the homeowner brand equipment. Tools for Time can answer your questions. They've got a knowledgeable staff to do so. Where's Tools for Time located? They're located at 11291 Old St. Augustine. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That 11291 Old St. Augustine Road is right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Locate the gigantic American flag at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you've been keeping up with the news or not, paying attention to what's happening in our nation and what's about to happen tomorrow. But ladies and gentlemen, have you noticed the armed wall security around the National Capitol in the White House? As I see video footage of that on television, I just simply, my mind's eye goes to places like Cuba, Venezuela, China, Russia, North Korea, all of those places around the globe where you do not have a peaceful transfer of power, where you have a fake, phony Dominion hardware and software being used to put the dictators back in office time after time after time, and to support the dictators going back in the office on a phony, fraudulent election basis. The armament comes out. the long knives, as one called it, comes out. And the military power keeps that person protected to go back into a regime of repression of the people, destruction of any liberties in those nations. But ladies and gentlemen, to be factual, I understand some 26,000 National Guardsmen are surrounding the White House and the Capitol. As you look at the gigantic wire fences with the razor wire at the tops of them, it looks like Guantanamo. It looks like prison camps. That's surrounding the White House and the Capitol. They have a double layer of fence security and concrete blockades. Block after block after block in D.C. is carted off, blockaded by gigantic military vehicles to keep traffic from going through. They have carted off and shut down businesses in most of the Capitol complex area. Businesses that normally would have a thriving business, restaurants and shops, et cetera, especially at a political season as this is. But all of them have been shut down. Their revenue shut off because there's 26,000 armed National Guardsmen and all of the Capitol Police, all of the D.C. Metro Police, all focused on one thing, to make sure that Joseph Biden is protected in the swearing-in ceremony to place him in the White House, being the ruler, the most powerful person of all nations on the face of the globe. The inauguration of Joe Biden as president is being protected today. Why don't we have 26,000 National Guardsmen? And I've just conjured and projected approximately 10,000 of the Metro D.C. police officers and the Capitol policemen and other security apparatuses that they have in place. Why is it necessary for that number? No other reason, ladies and gentlemen, but to protect an illegal inauguration of Joe Biden. The scene in D.C. is much like you find, as I said earlier, in North Korea and China and Russia, Cuba and Venezuela, and all the other Marxist communist nations. Every conservative, listen, every conservative, every Christian, every patriot in America ought to be gravely saddened and ought to be gravely concerned about what we see taking place in our capital in D.C. We need to be concerned about it. Here's an article that I believe is so poignantly well stated. The title of the article says, "Our capital city, Washington, is under military occupation tonight. The inauguration day, by inauguration day, there are expected to be more than 26,000 armed federal troops in D.C. The article states, they tell us that Joe Biden received the most popular votes of any presidential candidate in American history. They tell us he is a true man of the people. So what is this most popular presidential candidate of all time need 26,000 armed troops to protect him? The Bible says, and this writer is quoting it, Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn, end quote. This writer continues to say, America is different, forever different. We may just have to get used to the idea of our nation's capital ringed with armed troops there to protect the most popular president in United States history. The truth is, the stage for all this was set under Barack Hussein Obama and Joe Biden. The writer states this, when Barack Hussein Obama became president, we warned you about the coming civil war. We warned you of the then future armed militia on American streets. We warned you about the administration that would glorify and promote everything that God hates. When Joe Biden is sworn in tomorrow, it will be the start of Barack Obama's third term. Everything you're now seeing and everything that you will be seeing, we have long forewarned you would come to pass. It is now here. May God have mercy on our souls." Ladies and gentlemen, now, some might say that that is a negative statement, but it's a stark reality, ladies and gentlemen, of where we are in our nation today. As I have said so often, and my bride kind of chastens me and says, so now you're still under 100. And I usually say, even though I'm still a little bit under 100 years of age, I've never seen this in my lifetime. I believe this is an historic event for the United States of America. I believe it is a historic scene and setting. Now, in January of 2017, when President Donald J. Trump was inaugurated, what the media did not show was BLM, the Black Lives Matter thugs, and the Antifa thugs, actually burning buildings and whole segments of D.C. as the inauguration took place. But we didn't see then the military being called out. We didn't see then 26,000 troops surrounding the White House and the Capitol to protect President Trump, though there was danger at hand. I believe the left, the loose likes, lost liberals, as I call them, I believe the socialist Marxist media linked with the Marxist agenda, I believe that they all recognize the ultimate danger because of the theft of the presidency for the United States of America. I believe that there is a major recognition of that by having the troops mounted and so heavily armed as they are around the Capitol. In fact, we're watching the foundation shift, the foundations of the United States of America, our founding documents, our Bill of Rights, our Declaration of Independence, all that we hold so dear that's found in our Constitution. The foundations are shifting, and I believe being eviscerated. This is the reason when we look at Psalms 11:3, where the scripture says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that ought to be asked of every Christian, of every stripe. It ought to be asked of every patriot, every conservative. Every one today needs to be asked that question. What will take place? Because the Bible says in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And ladies and gentlemen, we're watching sin thriving in America today. When you have a congressman that is in the House and in the Senate, the leadership in the House and the Senate from the standpoint of the Republican leadership, I used to call them conservative. I don't call the Republicans conservative anymore. I've ceased to call, point out and call Republicans conservative. We've seen the true stripes, if you will, of the Republicans during the course of this election cycle. We've seen Mitch McConnell show that he's really not a conservative at all. We have watched others on the Republican Party that simply have taken sides with Joe Biden and the Marxist media because they want to protect their future, looking forward to the next election, the next election, and the next election, not concerned about the protection of our foundation in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're saying today is we have America is right now making the transition, not just from a political leader. We're making the transition from a constitutional republic to a socialist, Marxist, communist nation. We are watching, ladies and gentlemen, today, the difference between a socialist, Marxist, communist regime and the Constitutional Republic. What's the difference? The difference happens to be our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution with our Bill of Rights. Our founding fathers, ladies and gentlemen, through God's wisdom, God's insight, and God's judgment that he gave them, we have today a Bill of Rights. And that's something that other nations do not have. And I've got my pocket Constitution here before me. The First Amendment says Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of religion or the prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or press or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And then we find, ladies and gentlemen, the right to keep and bear arms in the Second Amendment. Our First and Second Amendments, ladies and gentlemen, are the two. The reason they're placed First and Second in our Bill of Rights is because they are the very foundation, forms the fabric, the warp and the woof, as I use the old term. It is the very foundation, it is the very fabric of our constitutional republic. Without the First and Second Amendments, the others have no value whatsoever. But the other amendments are born out of our First and Second Amendment, giving us the right to keep and bear arms, the right to have religious liberties, the freedom of speech. But ladies and gentlemen, our founding fathers were able to accomplish that simply because of God's wisdom, God's judgment and insight that he gave them, which we, the people, the United States of America, are guaranteed, ladies and gentlemen, freedom of speech and religious liberties and the right of self-defense. But ladies and gentlemen, without our Bill of Rights, America would simply be just like the Marxist communist dictatorships around the globe, where the people around the globe, with the exception of America, historically been simply silent. They've been slave servants under the thumb of the Marxist thugs that are in leadership and authority, the rulers, as we call them. You would think that America, having been blessed of God for some 245 years now, that we would want to preserve the treasure that we have in our liberties and not trash them. According to the Bible, God gave us government to protect good and to prosecute evil. That's exactly right. When you study, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, God created three institutions, the home and government and the church, and he did so in that order. And when you look at Romans chapter 13, the first seven verses, you find what God did in forming the government. It's not just for America. It is governments around the world that should follow the directives of God's word in relationship to what government ought to be like. But contrary-wise, we've seen governments around the globe that do not have the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and our Declaration of Independence and all of our founding documents and the liberties that we have therein. As a result of that, governments in most nations are there to repress the people, to control the people, and without any consideration of the people and their what should be their liberties. But ladies and gentlemen, in Romans 13, it clearly states that government is a servant of God. Hear me. Government is to be a servant of God. Therefore, government leadership ought to acknowledge God in everything they do, not just looking at it and asking the question, is a proposed bill constitutional, but does it go along with the Word of God? That's the way our founding fathers developed it. And that's the way our founding fathers followed through with our Constitution, was based on the Word of God. And you'll find in Romans 13 that government was designed of God as being a servant of God to administer justice in the world and civil government, and designed to prosecute evil and to protect the good. But we're watching the inversion of that. We're watching the reversal of that. We're watching government today prosecuting good and protecting evil. And a little example of that is, government now is protecting murder by way of abortion. Government today is protecting the sodomite LGBTQ lifestyle. Government today is protecting the thuggery that's taking place with the illegitimate laws and bills that are being passed by the House, and most of the time, the House and the Senate. Ladies and gentlemen, government no longer in America, government is no longer obedient to the Word of God as servants of God. Government has the position and the philosophy, whether it's spoken or not, that we're in control of the people. It's not a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. The government generally today has the mindset that we are the ordained thuggery leaders. We're the ones that's the masters over the people, and the people are simply slave servants to churn out the dollars to pay the taxes for we, the government, to do what we want to do. Now, you might say that's a horrible example of government, but that's what we've devolved to, ladies and gentlemen, and that's happened simply because we left God out. That's simply because we placed our trust in man and not placing our trust in God. But today, under the Marxist media and the incoming socialist Marxist Biden administration, they're assaulting our freedom of speech, our freedom of religion, our religious liberties, and our right to keep and bear arms, that is, the right of self-defense. When our freedom of speech and our freedom of religion and the right of self-defense are protected, Christians are protected, the churches are protected, our pulpits are protected, our families are protected. But ladies and gentlemen, all of these liberties are absolutely under siege today, under assault. I believe we have Jim on the line. Go read the question or comment, please.
Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Good afternoon. Yes, good afternoon. Good morning. Dr. Youngblood, have you read anything about the Equality Act that the Biden administration is proposing to executive order?
Yes, sir. I've read it. I've read it inside and out. The Equality Act happens to be House Bill 5 that Nancy Pelosi and 240 liberals in the House of Representatives passed February 2019. The Equality Act has nothing about equality in it. It is a inversion of and a perversion of what would be called equality. The Equality Act is the carrying out in full force of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. The Equality Act, and by the way, Joe Biden says the first day in office, he's going to make it law. It already has 47 senators in the Senate. That's where it's languishing in the Senate. 47 senators have already signed on board, and 240 representatives passed it. But the Equality Act will make the LGBTQ agenda the law of the land. And under the Equality Act, Nancy Pelosi, bragging about it when they passed it, she said, and no religious liberties, no religious privilege will trump, she smiled and said, if I can use that term, will trump the Equality Act and its intention. It will make every Christian. Pardon?
That's exactly what I was referring. Well, I was going to refer to that very, once it becomes a law, that very thing will then be used against religious rights there and justification for the removal of the First Amendment as far as the churches, pastors, and Christians go. So I was...
Oh, it will, Jim, it will absolutely eviscerate the First Amendment. They don't have to say they're going to cancel the First Amendment. When that takes place with the Equality Act, House Bill 5, when that goes into effect, it will cancel any liberty, any freedom in the pulpit. In fact, it clearly states that when that is law, it clearly states in House Bill 5, the Equality Act, that a pastor, preacher, teacher, religious leader cannot say anything from the pulpit or any other venue that will counter, that will be in contrast to or against the LGBTQ agenda. Else he will be prosecuted. A church, religious organization, religious college, religious university, religious, where a child is being put up for adoption, Christian adoption agencies, any of those agencies, any of those organizations, if they print, publish, or distribute anything that's antithetical to the sodomite agenda, they can be prosecuted and persecuted and fined federally and put in federal prison for doing so. That's the danger of it. It will literally destroy our First Amendment.
How will Christians then be able to spread some of the doctrine within, you know, the Bible in regards to, I mean, you know, Romans and Leviticus, they all, there are several passages throughout the Bible that clearly state that, you know, this is wrong. How's the church going to deal with that, and how are you going to deal with that?
We're about to hit a hard break for the top of the hour news, but let me succinctly answer it this way. It will not allow the church to do so. It will silence the church. It will silence the pulpits. It will destroy the evangelistic efforts of evangelizing the world. It will silence everything that we call Christianity and religious liberties and the freedom of speech today. It will literally eviscerate, annihilate, silence the First Amendment. And that's the thing that most Christians have not recognized, most have not talked about. In fact, when President Trump was running for office and we had people that were against him saying that he had this background and that background, but President Trump did more in 4 years for religious liberties and the freedom of speech and the right to keep and bear arms than all other presidents combined in the history of the United States of America. But we're watching that, Jim. We're seeing it. And this is the reason I'm so passionate about what I say on this broadcast each day, because we're watching the church, the pulpits, being silenced in America. And the precursor to that was shutting the churches down under the guise of COVID-19. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a top of the hour break for 1 minute of news. Be right back. Don't turn your dials as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.